Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is our teacher, and we trust him today to teach us. We trust him today to reveal truth to us. And Lord, I thank you by your Holy Spirit that I will say what you want me to say. Father, I thank you for this message that you put on my heart. Lord, I believe it's one that will benefit us. It's one that we need to hear. And I thank you that all of us will have ears to hear. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. Amen. Praise God. I want to start today in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, it's a verse that I referred to last week during my message, but it kind of came to me as like during the message. It wasn't one that was in our notes, but here's where I want to start. Acts 20 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul is talking to the elders, the leaders of the church in Ephesus, and he says, "How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house." And so I don't want to keep back anything that's helpful for you. Amen. Praise God. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit, also known as receiving the Holy Spirit, also known as being filled with the Holy Spirit, also known as the Holy Spirit coming upon you. The Bible uses all these different phrases to describe the same experience. This is an experience. This is a gift from God that is helpful to you as a believer. In fact, Jesus said, "I'm going to pray the Father and he'll give you a helper." Amen. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He also said, "It's the King James here, this verse says, how I kept back nothing that was profitable for you." Jesus said, "It's more profitable for you that I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send the helper, the Holy Spirit." Praise God. So certainly we can say that the Holy Spirit is something that is helpful for us, the experience of receiving the Holy Spirit. Amen. But unfortunately, this great blessing and this great truth has been kept back from many believers. It's been kept back because of, for different reasons, ignorance, wrong teaching. A lot of churches saying, "Well, we don't want to scare the new people off. We're not going to talk about the Holy Spirit and relegate the Holy Spirit to the back room. Well, if you come on a Thursday night to the back room, then we'll talk about the Holy Spirit, but we don't want to talk about him too much, because that's keeping back something that is helpful for us. We don't want to do that." Amen. So we started talking about last week about the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and speaking with tongues. We're going to continue on that today. Acts chapter 2, we know that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Acts 2 and verse 4 says, "They," the believers that were gathered there together, "they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And we can point to this day as the day the church was born. The church of Jesus Christ, which is made up of every believer in Jesus, the church was born in the power of the Holy Spirit. The first church was a Spirit-filled church, and it's God's desire that every church be a Spirit-filled church. It's a sad commentary that we have to distinguish and say, "Well, that's a Spirit-filled church over there, but this one over here, they're not." We should all be. Amen. We're not criticizing any other groups or any other churches, but we're just saying that this experience is available for every believer. That's what we're trying to say. Amen? Praise God. And we fast forward through the book of Acts, and we find out that, when they took the gospel to the world, they didn't, when Jesus said, "Go into all the world," what they heard was, "Go into all the Gentile world," or all the Jewish world. It took them a few years to figure out, hey, Jesus really did mean all the world, even the Gentiles. And so Peter brings the gospel to the Gentiles, goes to Cornelius' house. We talked about this last week, but I just want to point some things out in this too. And so Peter is preaching the first time that the Gentiles have the gospel presented to them. In Acts 10, verse 44, it says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, preaching the gospel to the Gentiles for the first time, The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. So there were six, if you read into the text, there were six others that came with Peter. These were Jews that had been believers in Jesus. When it calls them the circumcision, he's just saying that they're Jewish. And they came with Peter to the home of this Gentile as the gospel is proclaimed for the first time to the Gentiles. And those of the circumcision that believed, as many as came with Peter, it says they were astonished. And it says, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, how did they know? Verse 46 says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And so these Jewish believers were convinced, hey, the gospel is for all people, and the gift of the Holy Spirit is for all people, because they heard these Gentiles speak with tongues and magnify God. Praise God. That was their proof. Peter goes back to Jerusalem, and he shares the good news with the elders there and the apostles in Jerusalem. That the Gentiles have believed on Jesus, and they've received the same gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, just like all of them had on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And Peter is recounting that in Acts chapter 11 and verse 15. Peter's rehearsing what happened in Cornelius' house to the elders there in Jerusalem. And verse 15 says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same what? Gift. The same gift that he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus. Who was I that I could withstand God? And so we said this to you last week, that Jesus is God's gift to the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Well, in the same way, then, the Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. Jesus is God's gift to the world, but the Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. Jesus said this in Luke 11, 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And so the Holy Spirit is a good gift from our Heavenly Father to his children who ask him. It is intended by God that the Holy Spirit be our welcome gift into the family of God. That when we come into the family of God, our Heavenly Father says, here, I've got a gift for you. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. In Acts chapter 19, as we read on through the book of Acts and see what happened here in the early church. It happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Notice, first question he asked them, he doesn't say hi, he doesn't say howdy, he doesn't say how you doing. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Think about that. First question that he asked them. Now, he assumed that they were saved already, because it says he found disciples, and as we read through, he realizes, oh, okay. They said, we've not heard about the Holy Spirit. And he says, what were you baptized in? They said, John's baptism. That's all we know. We know that they'd heard the message that John the Baptist was proclaiming, prepare the way of the Lord, get ready, repent. The Messiah is coming. But they hadn't heard the rest of the story yet. As Royal said, they didn't have the internet back then. News didn't travel quite so fast back then. And so Paul, of course, then preached Jesus to them. But he was assuming that they were saved already. And so he was asking them, hey, have you received the welcome gift that our Heavenly Father has for all those who've come into the family? Amen. Now, that tells us two things. First of all, it tells us that when we're born again, yes, we're born of the Spirit, but there's more. We don't receive all the Holy Spirit that there is to receive when we're born again. We have to ask. Amen. That was my experience. I was born again, you know, growing up in my denominational church, and it wasn't until the end of my senior year in high school that I heard about the Holy Spirit. You know, I was kind of like these people. They answered Paul when he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, we've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. That was kind of my condition. You know, I appreciate my upbringing. I appreciate the foundation that I got. I was born again. I learned that the Bible was the Word of God. If you can find it in the Bible, believe it, and it's for you. Praise God. I'm grateful for that foundation, because when I found out about the Holy Spirit, I said, okay, yeah, this is in the Bible, and I want to receive. Amen? Praise God. And so he's the welcome gift. The Holy Spirit is a welcome gift to every believer. Amen. Praise God. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Have you received this welcome gift into the that God has for all of his children that come into his family? Amen. And so Paul, he finds out their condition, and he tells them about Jesus, and they get saved. And then verse 6 says, and when Paul had laid hands on them, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon them. And what happened then? And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. Acts chapter 10, when the gospel is preached for the first time to the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit falls upon those people and they speak with tongues. Acts 19 here, when Paul lays his hands on these people, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and it says they speak with tongues and prophesy. The point that we're making here is that speaking with tongues is the initial evidence, the initial sign that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Now, again, the moment that we're saved, we qualify to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul, as soon as he led them to Jesus, they got baptized in water, and then immediately he laid his hands on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit came upon them. And so that is the only prerequisite to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to first be born again. Once you're born again, you qualify. Amen? Praise God. All right. Now, we said this, and I think it's worth repeating. We don't receive tongues. We receive the Holy Spirit. And tongues comes with that experience. It's just like I had Paul come up here last Sunday with his shoes, and I think he's got the same pair on today. He's got a pair of lace-up shoes, and there's a tongue in each shoe, right? But when he went to the shoe store, he didn't say, hey, I want some new shoes. I want black, you know, size 9, and oh, could you include some tongues? No, the tongues automatically come with you. You don't even have to ask. The tongues come with it. And it's the same way. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and tongues comes with it. Tongues comes with that gift. Amen? Praise God. But I want to point this out as well. There's more evidence besides just tongues. Amen? And that's the initial evidence, but it's certainly not the only evidence. And shouldn't be the only evidence that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to point out three things that I noticed in my life when I received the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, he said, but you shall receive power. Receive what? When? When would we receive power? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So he said we'd receive power when the Holy Spirit came on us. Ability. Amen. In my experience, I had three things. Number one, and I was talking to someone about this the other day, and before I could even say anything, they said the same thing when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible came alive to me. The Bible came alive. Amen. Before I was filled with the Holy Spirit, when I would try to read the Bible, I just couldn't get into it. It didn't make sense to me. But after I was filled with the Holy Spirit, it was like, oh, now I understand. Oh, and this right here goes with this over here. And that fits with that. And that's why he's saying this. It just came alive to me. It came alive. Praise God. Well, Jesus said in John 16, verse 13, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will do what? He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Verse 14, he will glorify me. The Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus. For he will take of what is mine, the word, and declare it to you. In other words, reveal it to you. Praise God. And so that was the first thing. The second thing was boldness, boldness. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a boldness that comes with that, a boldness for us to witness for the Lord, a boldness for us to step out and speak about God to people. Amen. Praise God. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 tells us about that too. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? They spoke the word of God with boldness. Amen. There was a boldness that I never had before until after I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then the third thing is this. I became, after I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I became aware of God's, that God had a calling for my life. I didn't know all the details, obviously, but all of a sudden, after I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I begin to have a sense and awareness. Wait a minute, God, you've got something for me to do. You've got a plan for my life. Amen. And the Bible talks about that. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, Paul says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And a lot of times we stop reading right there and we say, oh, yeah, eyes not seen, ears not heard. We don't know what God has planned. It's all mysterious. And we stop reading right there. We don't go on, and the next verse says, but eye hasn't seen it. Ear hasn't heard it. You've not seen it with your physical eye. You've not heard it with your physical ear, the things that God has planned for you. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. What? The things that God has planned for those who love him. His plan for your life. His calling on your life. Amen. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Praise God. So God reveals his plans, his purposes for our lives to us. I began to be aware of that much more so after I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But going back to our original point, speaking in tongues, though, which we want to talk more about today, it is the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's a lot more than that. It's more than just the initial evidence. And so we want to go to 1 Corinthians 14. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's correcting some excesses and abuses, and he's guiding them in the right way to follow God and to live this Spirit-filled life. And he talks to them about speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. He says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So when you're speaking in tongues, then you're not speaking to people. You're talking to God. Amen. You don't even understand what you're saying, but in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries. And another translation for that, for mysteries there, is divine secrets. When we're praying in tongues, we're praying out divine secrets. And you'll see in a minute from other scriptures we look at how significant that is and how important it is. Continuing on here in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4, he says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he prophesies, edifies the church. So when we speak in tongues, when we pray in tongues, what are we doing? We're edifying ourselves. We're building ourselves up spiritually. Praise God. The word edify is the same word like you charge a battery. You're charging up. When you pray in other tongues, when you speak in other tongues, you are charging up your spiritual battery. And that's close to what Jude says in Jude chapter 1, verse 20. Jude says, but you, beloved, doing what? Building yourselves up. Building yourselves up. It's good to come together and hear the word, worship together, and get built up that way. But what about Monday through Saturday? You can build your... Oh, we got Wednesday night, of course, but or Wednesday morning prayer school, But what if you need building up during the week? Well, you can do that. You can build yourself up on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. It's a way to build yourself up spiritually. Praise God. Now, let's skip down to verse 6. In verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 14, back to 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 6 he says, but now, brethren, if I come to you, speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? And so here he begins to differentiate between the personal or private or devotional side of speaking in tongues and the public side of speaking in tongues. And here's where people have gotten confused when they read these scriptures about the public side of tongues, and they come away with that with an impression that, oh, well, not everybody's supposed to do it then. Well, no, he's talking about, again, look at the operative word. Put the verse back up there, Kim, if you would. The operative phrase here is, now, brethren, if I come to you. If I come to you. In other words, when we gather together in a public assembly and I'm speaking with tongues, what's that going to profit you unless I speak to you by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? In other words, that needs to be interpreted for you to get anything out of that, right? You won't be fed. You won't be edified. If I came in here and, after praise and worship, and I stood up here to start speaking, and all I did was speak in tongues for an hour. Now, I did that last night in here alone by myself, which I do most Saturday, late afternoon, early evening. I'll come in here and I pray for a solid hour, at least. I pray for an hour just in tongues, not praying any other way. I pray for an hour in tongues, and that was all right. And it builds me up, and it edifies me, and it helps prepare me to be able to share with you now on Sunday morning. But if I come in here today and pray in tongues for an hour, you're not going to get anything out of it, right? You know, other than, well, that's cool. You know? Right? No. So he's talking about the public side. But there's a private devotional side that I engaged in last night, yesterday evening, amen, which is right and proper and good. But then the public side of it, you know, if there's a message in tongues and that should be interpreted in public. Now, it's okay if we, like in our prayer school on Wednesday morning, I teach and we pray together, corporately together, prayers in English. And then we know it's a given. Okay, now we're going to trust the Holy Spirit to help us pray. And we all pray in other tongues for several minutes. So that's appropriate because we've spoken, you know, we've taught, okay? So it is appropriate to do that. Verse 8, we'll skip down to verse 18 and connect with something that here that he says, but that connects back with the verse 6. He says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. So Paul is advocating for speaking in tongues. He says, I want you, he said, he's trying to make it clear to them, look, I'm not talking against speaking in tongues. In fact, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, they were doing it a lot. He had to correct some excesses. So that meant that he prayed in tongues a whole lot, that he spoke in tongues. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. But then he says in the rest of the verse here, he says, yet, in verse 19, yet in the church, did I give you 19? Oh, I'm so sorry. I see in my notes here that I've left off the number. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. So he's saying it would be in a church gathering. It would be, wouldn't that excite y'all if I said, okay, my message today is 5 words. 5 words, and then we're going home. All right. But he said it'd be, there we go, thank you, Kim. He said in the church or when we're assembled, the word church there means assembly, when we have assembled together, if it's just 5 words, I'd rather speak 5 words to you with my understanding that I may teach others than the 10,000 words that I would pray out in an hour or however long it would take me to pray 10,000 words. That would benefit you more to get those 5 words. Maybe I'll do that one Sunday. Maybe I'll title, now, that'll be my 5 points. Don't misunderstand me. 5 words. Now, each word will have some teaching, you understand. The 5 words that Paul would have spoken. We should talk about that. All right. Okay, so let's go back to verse 14. 1 Corinthians 14:14, he says, "For if I pray in a tongue," what's happening? What's the next phrase? "My spirit prays." So when we pray in tongues, what's happening? We're praying out of our spirit. Your spirit is praying. "For if I pray in a tongue," he says, "my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." When we pray in tongues, we're bypassing our minds and we're praying directly out of our spirit. It's your spirit that's born again. When you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it was your spirit that got born again. It was your spirit that became a new creation. It was your spirit that was made alive. Amen. We were dead spiritually, separated from God. But when we get saved, we're reconnected with God. Our spirit is made alive. And when you pray in tongues, you're praying directly out of that part of you, out of your spirit. Amen. And what's important about that is it's a way. When we pray in tongues, we're developing our spirit. We're so body conscious, we're so reasoning and mind conscious. But if we're going to live the Christian life successfully, we need to become spirit conscious. We need to become conscious of our spirit. So it's our, because the Bible says in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit guides us through our spirit. The Spirit Himself bears witness, not with our mind, not with our body. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. And the more we pray in tongues, the more conscious we become of our spirit. And therefore, the leading of God becomes more clear and more distinct to us. Amen? Praise God. The Amplified Bible of that verse says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit," and the Amplified adds this, "by the Holy Spirit within me prays." So when we pray in tongues, what's happening is we're working with the Holy Spirit. Amen. "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays." Acts 2:4 says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit's given the utterance. They're doing the speaking. What are they doing? They're working with the Holy Spirit. When we pray in tongues, the Spirit's giving the utterance. We're doing the speaking. What are we doing? We're working with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise God. He's given the utterance. We're doing the speaking. That's why Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, said this. He said, "I found in my own life that the more I pray and worship God in tongues, the more manifestation of the other gifts of the Spirit I have. Speaking with tongues is the door into the rest of the spiritual gifts." Amen. Paul, back in 1 Corinthians 14:15, Paul says, "What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding." That's in your known language. "I will sing with the Spirit." And when I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm praying in tongues. When I'm singing with the Spirit, I'm singing in tongues. "And I will also sing with the understanding." So we can and we should pray both ways. Amen? We can and we should pray both ways. Each kind of prayer is like a wheel of a bicycle. Amen? Each kind of prayer is like one wheel of a bicycle. You ever tried to ride a bicycle with one wheel missing? That's hard to do, isn't it? Right? You know, we need both wheels, right? We need to pray in the Spirit and other tongues. We need to pray with our understanding. Amen? Praise God. And notice this. Paul said, "I will." I will. You can pray in tongues at will. You don't have to wait for some special feeling. You don't have to wait for some special manifestation. You can choose to pray in tongues. This wasn't taught decades ago, and Brother Hagin, his testimony is, as a young pastor, he discovered this scripture. He said, "Well, the Bible says here, I will pray with the Spirit, so I can pray with in other tongues anytime I want to." And so he made a decision one day. He said, "I'm going to pray in tongues for an hour. I can will to do that. I can choose to do that. I'm going to pray in tongues for an hour here." And so he began that. He said, "I'm just going to pray in tongues for an hour." He knew there was value in it. So he started praying, And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed in tongues and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed some more in tongues and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed some more in tongues and looked at his watch. It had been 10 minutes. He said, I never felt so dry, so listless. I didn't have any goosebumps. He continued, well, I made a commitment. I'm going to do this. He was determined. So he kept praying, and he finally made it through that hour. Didn't sense any anointing, but he prayed in tongues for an hour. And then he heard these thoughts came, and he recognized they were coming from the devil. Now look at you. You've wasted an hour. You could have been out visiting some of your congregation. You could have been working on your sermon. You've wasted an hour. Well, he recognized where the thoughts were coming from, recognized it was the devil. And he said, okay, Mr. Devil, just for that, I'm going to double it. He knew it was over the target. He knew it was over the target. He said, just for that, I'm going to double it. I'm going to pray 2 hours. And so he starts off praying in tongue, doesn't sense any special anointing or anything, and plows through and prays 2 more hours in tongues. Now he's prayed 3 hours in tongues. And now the devil says, you have really messed up now. You have really, you've wasted half the day. You've wasted 3 hours. You've wasted 3 hours here. Okay, all right. If you want to play that way, he says, I'm going to double it again. I'm going to pray 4 more hours in tongues. He started in, prayed through that fourth hour, got into the fifth hour, and he said, I got into that fifth hour. He said, I hit a gusher. I hit a gusher. He said, it just began to roll out of me. He said, I tapped into something, and it began to roll out of me. And I prayed for the next 45 minutes. I just prayed hard and fast in tongues, and it rolled out of me and rolled out of me. And I got through praying that out. And then God spoke to me and said this prophetic word at the close. This was in 1943, in February of 1943. And he'd already been praying at that time about that there were just the gifts of the Spirit weren't in operation. And he'd been praying about the gifts of the Spirit and for the miracles and the power of God to be in demonstration. And this wasn't, they weren't seeing it in the churches, and everyone was distracted because of the war. World War II was going on. So he gets through praying that out, and the Holy Spirit speaks and says, at the close of World War Number Two, there'll come a revival of divine healing to America. What if he hadn't spent that time praying that out? So he wrote it down, put it in his Bible. 18 months later, September 1944, he's preaching at a youth rally, and he's preaching away, and he happens to find that note that he had put from 18 months before. He said, let me tell you something that the Lord said to me a while back, and he read that note. At the close of World War Number Two, there'll come a revival of divine healing to America. He said, as soon as I read those words, he said, the power of God fell on that whole congregation. He said, everybody hit the floor praying. Every minister ran to the altar and began to pray. A spirit of prayer descended upon that entire crowd there. And you know what happened in 1947? A revival of divine healing came to America from 1947 through 1958. Now, there were others praying, obviously. It wasn't just him, but he tapped into something. Now, I must confess, I've never prayed 5 hours and 45 minutes at one time in other tongues. Now, I may get there. I'm kind of challenging myself right now to get there and to do that. And you may think even praying an hour. Now, again, when I come over here on Saturdays, I pray non-distracted, non-interrupted, not doing anything else, don't have my phone with me, not reading anything, not wandering around looking at stuff. I'm praying for a solid hour. Just focused on praying that way. You say, well, that's beyond what I can do. Well, try 2 minutes. Say, 2 minutes, what good will that do? Well, I used to do that with my kids when I was taking them to school. Our routine was we would put on the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, and then I would say, okay, kids, we're going to pray 2 minutes in tongues. We're going to pray 2 minutes. You say, well, 2 minutes, that won't. Well, Mark Rutland says you can pray the whole Lord's Prayer in just 21 seconds. That'd be praying that, like, in 2 minutes you could pray the Lord's Prayer 6 times through. And so you can say a lot of words in 2 minutes. And so I would say, okay, kids, let's pray in tongues for 2 minutes. And we'd start praying. I'd say, okay, I can't hear you. Are you praying? You praying? And I would make them pray. You know, one of my boys, Travis, years ago when he got back from a mission trip, he had a wonderful mission trip down to on the Amazon River in South America and saw great things happen. And he came back and he said, "Dad, thank you for making us pray 2 minutes in tongues every day. Thank you for training us to do that." But anyway, one day, this is after the older, it was just Scarlett and Wesley, the two youngest ones, were with me that day. And we prayed out our 2 minutes in tongues. And Scarlett had already had a lot. I've shared this before. Some of you have heard it. Scarlett had already had a lot of Spanish in school. So she was fluent in Spanish. And we got through praying our 2 minutes, just 2 minutes. And Scarlett said, "Dad, I understood some phrases that you prayed." Well, I wasn't praying that I knew of, praying in Spanish. She said, "You one thing you said was thankfulness or thankful." Well, that's the Bible says when we pray in tongues. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 14, you give thanks well. You give thanks well. So that was the one word that she heard in Spanish that I prayed, thankful. And then she heard this phrase, "More hands, more hands." Praise God! I was summoning angels to someone's aid. More hands on that project. Hallelujah. And then I prayed this out. That dies. That dies. There's some things, there's some plots and schemes of the enemy that need to die. Amen. I didn't know what I was saying. But in that 2 minutes, I prayed, thankful. More hands. That dies. Praise God. In just two minutes. Praise God. Another, Clint, you can come on back up if you would. Another time, this was just and more recent, but it's still been almost 5 years ago. I think it was 2019. We were in here on a Wednesday night service, and it was around the 4th of July. I think it was actually July 3rd. I didn't check the date to see if July 3rd was on and 2019 was on a Wednesday, but it was right around there. And we were having a service, and I forget what I even taught on that night. I think it maybe had something to do with the nation. And then I said, "Let's take some time and let's pray for the nation. Let's pray for America." And we prayed some in English. And I said, "Let's pray in the spirit. Let's just pray in other tongues over our nation." Little group gathered. I don't know how many we had, not just a handful that night. And we prayed for a little while, not long, maybe 5-10 minutes, prayed for America. And there was a lady here. He's one of Paul Spicer's acquaintances, and Paul was here that night, and his friend was here, and she came rushing up to me after the service, and she said, "Where did you learn to speak ancient Turkish?" You remember that? "Where did you learn to speak ancient Turkish?" I said, "Well, I didn't." I said, "Was I speaking it?" She said, "Yes, you were." She's from the Middle East. Her family was from there. And she said, "Yes, you were speaking ancient Turkish." I said, "What was I saying?" She said, "Oh, my. Oh, my. You were speaking and saying, this is going to be this way, and this is going to happen. Praise God. I didn't know that. I'm just praying in tongues over America. Amen? Now, the Bible says, you know, my daughter heard that in Spanish. This lady heard that in ancient Turkish. The Bible says that when we pray in tongues, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, not everything you pray in tongues is a language that is known and understood, but it can be. Amen. Praise God. All right. Romans 8, we'll close with this. Romans 8, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So the Holy Spirit is our helper in prayer. He helps us in our weakness. He helps us to overcome our weakness. "For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought." We know in a measure, but not as we ought. "But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And It says he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I want to read you something out of this little book by Brother Hagin. It's called Why Tongues, and it's a great little book if you don't have it. I would encourage you to get it. He has a comment about this verse in this book. He says, P.C. Nelson, a scholar of the Greek, and Dad Nelson was also a Bible teacher. He was a Baptist, and then he got filled with the Holy Spirit and was in among the Pentecostal circles when Brother Hagin was coming up in ministry, and all the young ministers looked to him and called him Dad Nelson. And I think he was maybe the founder, I don't know if he was the founder of, but was president of Southwestern Assembly of God College down in Texas. But Dad Nelson was a Greek scholar. He could read and write 32 languages. He was employed by the United States government during the war to help them as a translator and a linguist. So he says a scholar of the Greek said, P.C. Nelson said that the Greek literally reads here, the Holy Ghost maketh intercession for us in groanings that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. Articulate speech means our regular kind of speech. He went on to point out how the Greek stresses that this not only includes groanings escaping our lips in prayer, but also praying in other tongues. And so even though it doesn't directly say in this, is Kim still back there? Someone put that verse back up for me, please. Romans 8:26, the previous verse. All right. There we go. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And Dad Nelson, a Greek expert, said it not only means groanings, but it also includes praying in other tongues and words that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. In other words, our known language. So when we're praying in other tongues, we're praying about things that we would not know to pray otherwise. Amen. When you pray in tongues, it is your spirit praying by the Holy Spirit within you. The Holy Spirit within you gives the utterance, and you speak it out of your spirit. You do the talking. He gives the utterance. By this method, the Holy Spirit helps you to pray according to the will of God as things should be prayed for. Praise God. Praying with other tongues is praying as the Spirit gives utterance. It is Spirit-directed praying. It eliminates the possibility of selfishness in our prayers. It's a great way to pray, amen? You know, sometimes when we pray in our own understanding, we can put our own thoughts in there. And that's why it's good to pray the Word. If I'm praying with my understanding, I like to pray the Word. Thank God we were taught to do that, amen? But when we pray in other tongues, we're praying the perfect will of God. The Holy Spirit is helping us to pray out the perfect will of God, and to pray out things that we would not know otherwise how to pray or what to pray for. So I want to commend you to the practice of praying in other tongues. Again, you know, an hour may seem overwhelming to you. Start with 2 minutes. Start with 10 minutes, 5 minutes. I found the more, you know, well, I'm going to break it up and do five here, five here, five here. That's good if that's all you can do, and you're limited by that. That's fine. I found to the more I can do it continually. That's why I like to set aside a solid hour here on Saturdays that I can go further, sense the presence of God and sense the leading of God and the voice of God clearer as I go further in that. So I want to encourage you to progress in it, but start somewhere. And then pray in tongues a little bit every day. And again, the devil will, you know, like Brother Hagin said, it may seem dry. The devil will fight you. That didn't do any good. You didn't know what you're saying. Push through that. No, you're lying, devil. There's power in this. I'm so glad my daughter told me that. That meant so much to me that you're not just saying anything. You're not just wasting your time. You're praying out things that you want. No telling what we've prayed through the years, not knowing what we've spoken, but there have been powerful declarations made and powerful things prayed. Amen. Praise God. So I want to commend you to the practice. Praise God. But if you're here, if you weren't here last Sunday, we had a glorious service, and we had seven people filled with the Holy Spirit last Sunday. So I know some of you might not have been here last Sunday. So I want to give this invitation. So every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. Praise God. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to lead you in a prayer for you to give your heart to Jesus. Once you come in, once you do that and you come into the family of God, then you qualify for the welcome gift of the Holy Spirit. But the first step is to receive Jesus. So let me pray with you to do that. Join me here in the congregation. We'll put our hands over our hearts. And you're joining us on YouTube. Go ahead and do that too. Put your hand over your heart. Just close your eyes and pray this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. And he was raised from the dead. I recognize that I need a Savior. I can't save myself. So I call on you, Jesus. You took my place. You died for me. You were raised from the dead. And you are able to save me, to give me eternal life, salvation, wholeness. I receive that now, the gift of eternal life through you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And now, Heavenly Father, I thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit. I receive this wonderful gift in my life today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed with us, please get in touch with us here at City on the Hill Church. You can go to our website, cityonthehillchurch.us. You can contact us there. We'd love to hear from you and follow up with you. Praise God.